and children have been killed in Israeli attacks. The overall toll from the US-Israeli genocidal war, which began in October 2023, has now climbed to over 70,100. Israel has triggered a wave of concern after announcing it will open the crucial Rafah crossing between Gaza and Egypt, but only for Palestinians to exit the coastal strip. Gaza mediators, Egypt and Qatar, as well as six other Muslim-majority countries, have expressed their, quote, deep concern about the plan for a one-way exit for transfer of Gazan residents to Egypt. The statement was issued by Jordan, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Turkey and the United Arab Emirates, along with the Gaza mediators. Israel's announcement envisions no return for Gaza residents to their homeland. That has raised fears of permanent displacement of Palestinians, a concept that the hardliner cabinet of the Israeli Premier Netanyahu has been promoting for months. In the West Bank, Palestinians struggle to carry on with their daily life amid violent military raids and widespread settler attacks. In a recent incursion, the regime forces stormed a refugee camp north of Ramallah, leaving two Palestinians injured. Meanwhile, Israeli settlers assaulted Palestinian farmers south of Al-Khalil and prevented them from ploughing their lands. Our correspondent Nakal Hamad joined us earlier from Ramallah to bring us up to speed on the latest there.
Speaking of Israeli settlers, unfortunately, they have participated actively in assaulting the Palestinians in the last, at least in the last 12 hours. A violent raid took place into the Christian village of At-Taybe to the east of occupied Ramallah, where many vehicles have been burned down and racist slogans have been written on the church. The Israeli settlers also attacked the Palestinians in the air in the village of Aqraba to the south of occupied Nablus, and also in the village of Turmus Aya and Abu Falah to the northeast of occupied Ramallah. In addition to that, the area of Masafer Yatta, where the Israeli settlers attacked the families over there, they have been attacking the families over there for more than 2 years, even before the war has started. But these attacks have intensified since the beginning of the genocide, and now on a daily basis, and sometimes on an hourly basis, we are talking about almost 50,000 dunams of Palestinian lands that our Israeli settlers are trying to push out those Palestinian Bedouin clusters from the area of Masafer Yatta.
The Hezbollah leader slammed Israel's repeated ceasefire violations, saying that the regime seeks to lay the groundwork for Lebanon's gradual occupation and push to draw greater Israel. The remarks come after the UN Security Council delegation met with Lebanese officials to discuss ceasefire and Israeli aggressions. Mariam Saleh reports.
Despite heightened U.S. and Israeli pressures on Lebanon, Hezbollah Secretary General Sheikh Naim Qassem says the resistance will not give up its only defensive capability. In a televised speech Friday, he emphasized that Hezbollah has no regard for U.S. and Israeli dictates.
We are cooperating with the government, which has taken the diplomatic route to end the aggression, and we are supporting it in its efforts. The U.S. and Israel have no business in dictating how we manage our internal affairs. Whatever we decide in Lebanon or what we do in Lebanon, whether on the issue of arms or other issues, does not concern them. The only framework which needs to be met in dealing with the Israeli enemy is the ceasefire agreement. We have complied, but Israel has not.
The Hezbollah chief said Israel's aggressions have nothing to do with Hezbollah's weapons. He said the regime seeks to lay the groundwork for the gradual occupation of Lebanon and push for its greater Israel project. Sheikh Qassem warned that if Lebanon concedes, the U.S.-Israeli conditions will not be limited to the issue of arms. Experts believe that while the U.S. and Israel are jointly working on one agenda, they might differ on the means.
One area where they might disagree is in terms of how far to go to eliminate Hezbollah. I think the Israelis would want to do that at all costs. I think for the Americans, at least for some people in the Trump administration, they realize that America has interests in Lebanon. By the way, they're building their biggest embassy in Lebanon. So would all-out chaos serve American interests in the end? If you want to have a big embassy, if you want to be influential in Lebanon, I think you need stability.
The speech coincided with a visit of a delegation of the UN Security Council members who met with Lebanese leaders and stressed the significance of the implementation of UN resolutions. During the meeting, Lebanese President Joseph Aoun urged the Security Council to pressure Israel to respect the ceasefire and withdraw from Lebanon. Experts believe UN resolutions are theoretically a framework for peace, while Israel has implemented none. When asked about how the UN can enforce an Israeli withdrawal from Lebanon, the Russian ambassador to the UN says he hopes diplomatic efforts can bear fruit.
We can do whatever we can in the Council. But the Council doesn't have military means, of course.
During their meetings with Lebanese leaders, the UN delegation voiced support for stability in Lebanon. President Joseph Aoun stressed that Lebanon has always cooperated with the United Nations, but the main obstacle now, he said, was the Israeli occupation and aggression. Mariam Saleh, Beirut.
In Yemen's southeast, tensions escalate as UAE-backed separatist forces tighten their grip on key provinces. They have seized strategic crossings and are moving towards vital energy regions. The rapid shifts in control have raised concerns of economic stability, regional security, and the future of any political de-escalation efforts. Abdulatif Al-Bashali reports from Sana'a.
UAE-backed separatist forces from the Southern Transitional Council have dramatically expanded their influence in Yemen's southeast, securing full control of Hadramaut province. This advance comes despite a Saudi-mediated de-escalation agreement that has failed to halt combat operations. The separatists have moved eastward toward Mahra province on the Omani border, culminating in a full takeover.
The Southern Transitional Council is made up of several factions, including Al-Qaeda, Daesh, and unfortunately some thieves and mercenaries from the south, along with foreign elements. They have managed to seize those areas, and this is not merely a rotation of roles between Saudi Arabia and the UAE, but an effort to plunder resources. Hadramaut holds oil and gold wealth, and we should not forget the increasing looting of antiquities in recent months.
Control of Mara carries exceptional weight due to the inclusion of the Shahan land crossing. Shahan is Yemen's only gateway to Oman and a crucial artery for commercial imports such as electronics and vehicles. The crossing is viewed as the country's safest and most stable land route. Its seizure has sparked widespread regional concern given Mara's strategic position and trade networks and its role in maintaining Yemen's fragile economic lifelines.
There is a project led by global arrogant powers, namely the United States and Britain. The project is implemented through their regional tools and aims to reshape Yemen's geography through these developments. We view this as an occupation reality and fully understand that what is happening today is not part of a Saudi-Emirati conflict, but rather a redistribution of zones of influence and control aligned with the Zionist project, especially in this highly sensitive time.
In a parallel escalation, separatist forces have begun extensive military movements toward Shabwa, a province rich in oil and gas fields. The push is seen as a direct attempt to widen control over Yemen's most economically significant areas. Heavy clashes have taken place, leaving large numbers of casualties and signaling a dangerous phase of renewed escalation that could further erode prospects for stability or political compromise.
From Hadramaut to Mahra and now toward Shabwa's energy fields, the accelerating advance of the separatist forces is reshaping Yemen's conflict map. The momentum on the ground signals a critical turning point that could redraw alliances and deepen regional repercussions. Abdulatif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
Dublin City Council has been condemned for postponing a decision to rename a public park that honors Israeli war criminals, the Herzog family. Pro-Palestinian activists argue the Herzog family name is incompatible with Ireland's stance on the genocide in Gaza. Jerome Hughes reports from Dublin.
Herzog Park on Orwell Road in Rathgar, Dublin, is named after former Israeli President Chaim Herzog, who was born in Belfast and raised in Dublin before emigrating to Israel. Local pro-Palestinian councillors argue that, given the genocide being carried out in Gaza by the Israeli regime, the park should no longer honour the Herzog family. The renaming effort has been temporarily stalled inside Dublin City Council due to a so-called legal technicality. Activists say that delay is unacceptable.
Isaac Herzog, who's the present president of Israel, he signed an artillery shell to go to Gaza. So this man is actually perpetuating and leading the genocide. And his father also led policies to ethnically cleanse Gaza.
Dublin City Council is now facing national and international pressure to step back from the renaming proposal. Ireland's two governing party leaders have both spoken against altering the park's name. Campaigners say that stance is disgraceful and betrays Ireland's reputation for standing with oppressed people.
If you want to talk about the Herzog family and the person that was named for and talk about Judaism, that's one thing. But the Zionism for which it stands for right now should be renounced, and the renaming is essential.
Current Israeli President Isaac Herzog, son of Chaim Herzog, has condemned any renaming as, quote, shameful and disgraceful. Supporters of the name change counter that the facts are now undeniable.
We were just proud that he was, you know, became famous abroad, but we didn't realise his role in the genocide and in the depopulation of Gaza at that time. So I think there's a different set of facts and a different set of information now.
Although a decision to rename this park has been postponed for now, the issue is likely to come back onto the agenda in the future. Some of the new names already being proposed include Palestine Park or Gaza Park. Another suggestion has been to rename it Hind Rajab Park in honour of the Palestinian child brutally murdered by Israeli forces along with thousands of other children during the genocide in Gaza. Jerome Hughes, Dublin.
Thousands of people have poured into the streets of various German cities to protest against conscription reforms, accusing the government of preparing for large-scale mobilisation.
Yes, I am here today as a mother, and I am extremely worried about my two sons who will be affected by the new rules. And as a mother, I want to prevent that at all costs. I didn't raise my children to send them off to war afterwards.
Young people are on strike here today because they are not prepared to sacrifice 6 months of their lives to do military service. They say, we need a strong army again because we are threatened by Russia. This statement is not true.
It's a demonstration against conscription and compulsory military service. We don't want conscription. We don't want our sons to have to go to war.
Actually, this conscription must be seen in the context of the preparation for war. With the over 100 billion that have now been made available for this purpose, as a so-called special fund, I am firmly convinced that NATO is actively planning a war against Russia, and I am very afraid of that.
Protests were held in cities such as Berlin, Hamburg, and Munich, where demonstrators holding banners reading No to Compulsory Military Service. Some protesters called for investments in education and social welfare rather than military build-up. If the proposed law is approved, it would require all 18-year-old men to register for possible service with a lottery used if more soldiers are needed. Russia's war in Ukraine and rising defence commitments within NATO have renewed debate about reintroducing conscription in various forms. Pakistan and Afghanistan have once again exchanged deadly fire along their borders following the failed peace talks held earlier this week. Both sides are blaming each other for triggering the latest round of clashes in violation of a fragile ceasefire in place for the past 2 months. Afghan officials say at least 4 civilians were killed during the latest violence. A Taliban spokesman in Kabul claims Pakistani forces launched attacks in Spin Boldak district of Kandahar province. This is while Islamabad accuses Afghan troops of unprovoked firing near Chaman borders. Days earlier, the two countries held talks without any progress in Saudi Arabia. Despite the failure, both neighbours pledged to uphold the fragile ceasefire. The meeting was in the latest in a series of regional efforts to ease tensions following deadly border clashes in October. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has denounced the US military threats against his country as acts of imperialist aggression in violation of international law.
This is nothing less than an illegal act of imperialist aggression, in direct violation of the UN Charter and international law. It is disproportionate, utterly excessive, extravagant, and unnecessary. Venezuela has never been, is not, and will never be a threat to the United States. On the contrary, Venezuela stands as a guarantee of security across the American continent. Venezuela is hope. Venezuela is the hope, the hope. It is hope.
Maduro made the remarks in the inauguration of the headquarters of the Bolivarian National Police Service Academy in Caracas. His remarks came as U.S. President Donald Trump received FIFA's inaugural Peace Prize during the World Cup draw ceremony at Washington's Kennedy Center. Meanwhile, the U.S. military announced it had killed four men in a strike on a vessel in international waters in the eastern Pacific on Thursday. Since September the 2nd, Washington has carried out around 21 such strikes on alleged drug shipments, leaving more than 84 people dead. The operations coincide with the Trump administration's intensified campaign against Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro.
And that is a wrap for this hour's news bulletin. Thank you so much for staying with us.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salamun alaikum, dear brother and sister. Welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for choosing this program to listen to, where we're going to speak about living a blessed life.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light. You guides me through my darkest nights. Shows me right from wrong in life. A world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life, but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Today is Saturday, 15th of Jamadil Thani, 1447 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of the month of Azar, 1404 of the solar calendar, and the 6th of December, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual and as a ritual of this program, we'll listen to a verse from the Holy Quran. For today, we choose chapter At-Talaq, verse 3. Of course, we're going to speak about the important point of this verse.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa yarzuquhu min haythu la yahtasib. Wa man yatawakkal 'ala Allah fa huwa hasbuh. Inna Allah balighu amrihi. Qad ja'ala Allah likulli shay'in qadra.
And will provide for him from where he does not expect. And whoever relies upon Allah, then he is sufficient for him. Indeed, Allah will accomplish his purpose. Allah has already set for everything a decreed extent.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse is saying that Allah will provide him from sources that he could have never imagined, and whosoever puts his trust in Allah, he will suffice him, since Allah will accomplish his purpose and he has set a measure for all things. Thus, male and female witnesses are warned against entertaining fear of problems resulting from treading the path of truth. But they are enjoined to administer justice and invoke Allah for removing the impediments, since He guarantees that whoever puts his trust in Allah, he will be delivered from entanglements.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Wa tadarbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran ya Rabbi. شكرا هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا رب يا رحمن شكرا يا
سو. Our question, what does it mean to live a blessed life? Every creation phenomenon being in the entire universe obeys according to the law and rules established by Almighty Allah. the only creation of Almighty Allah that has been endowed with a choice is mankind and jinn. Mankind possess quality of intellect and choice, and as a result will be held accountable for the choices he makes. Whether to submit to the goodwill of Almighty Allah or become disobedient and denying of the sustainer of the universe. If a person chooses by his own choice and free will to submit himself to the goodwill, obeying and submitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by becoming a Muslim, it is the best safeguard for man's peace and harmony in attaining the eternal paradise. However, mankind also has the choice to deny Almighty Allah or His oneness by worshipping things, beings, deities other than Almighty Allah, and for him is prepared the painful chastisement.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, today we have another topic to discuss about. If life is a blessing, are we looking at the life as a blessing? Life as a blessing can be unfolded much more deeply by examining its roots in philosophy, religion, psychology, and everyday ethics, and by asking what it means in a world that contains both joy and intense suffering. When people can call life a blessing, they are usually doing more than expressing optimism. They are making a claim about value, purpose, and how humans should live. So let's look at the ancient philosophy and the value of life. Ancient Greek thinkers already wrestled with whether life is intrinsically good or only conditionally good. For Aristotle, life becomes truly blessed when it is lived in accordance with values and virtues, meaning that reason governs desires and actions in a balanced way. In this framework, the blessing of life is not automatic. It is realized when a person grows into wisdom, courage, moderation, and justice over time. Plato, by contrast, emphasized that the visible world is imperfect and changeable, while the highest good lies in eternal realities such as truth and goodness.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the
now, how can we attain the good life? One way can be, could be, should be knowledge. We have to continuously learn about Allah through His names, His words, His creation, and by worshipping Him. We have to learn about His beloved who practically demonstrated to us how to live a good life. And we have to learn about the actions and the diseases of the heart. Someone said, how misfortunate are the people of the world who left the world without having experienced its greatest delight. When he was asked, what is its greatest delight? He replied, knowing Allah, loving Him, finding comfort in His closeness, and longing to meet Him. This is today's special. What actions increase barakah in one's life? Everything you do starts from within. In the famous hadith, the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family mentioned, actions are based on intentions. Ikhlas, or sincere intentions in one's devotion to Allah, can move mountains, it can change lives, it can revive the ummah, it can be a source of protection. Sincere and intentional devotion can be a means of ripple effects in continuous charity long after one has left this world. It can be the reason you have more blessings in your time and wealth than the person next to you who has the same 24 hours and same bank balance. Renew your intention daily and reflect on it before you sleep. When you wake up and before you engage in acts of worship and keep purifying your intention in your thoughts and attitudes, in your speech, in your actions, both small and large, inshallah, we will be successful in this manner.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, today we have another topic to discuss about. If life is a blessing, are we looking at the life as a blessing? Life is a blessing to the extent that it allows the soul to turn away from illusion and toward what is truly real and good. Even death is not necessarily a loss in this vision, because the soul continues its journey. So the blessing of the life is part of a longer metaphysical story. Modern existentialist thinkers question whether life has any built-in meaning at all. They noted that the universe appears indifferent to human hopes, and that people face freedom, responsibility, and mortality without clear instructions. Yet, instead of concluding that life is a curse, existentialists often argue that the capacity to choose, commit, and create meaning is itself a remarkable gift. In this sense, life is a blessing, not because it comes with ready-made answers, but because it offers the freedom to define oneself through choices and relationships. A person may experience emptiness or absurdity, yet by engaging in authentic projects, loving others, building communities, seeking truth, the same life becomes meaningful. The blessing is bound up with freedom, even though freedom also brings anxiety and risk. The philosophy of religion asks whether life's value depends on a relationship to something beyond the world, such as God or transcendent good. Many religion philosophers argue that if humans are created with a purpose, then life is inherently precious, even when individuals cannot see the full picture.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special, which in that way speak about a blessed life and the ways, of course. Follow us. Thank you and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami, Lafata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Rabbi David Feldman is one of the most outspoken voices in the United States Jewish community against Zionism and Israeli genocidal policy and war crimes in Gaza and in the occupied Palestinian territories. Rabbi Feldman resides in New York and is temporarily in Italy to attend some conferences and demonstrations in solidarity with the Palestinians and with Italian workers. He is the spokesperson for Neturei Karta, an international Orthodox Jewish anti-Zionist group which affirms that Judaism and Zionism are fundamentally opposed to each other. Rabbi, thanks very much for being here with us today.
You're so very welcome. It's a pleasure meeting you and talking to you.
So, Rabbi, as a Jewish person who opposes Zionism, how do you define the difference between Judaism as a faith and Zionism as a political ideology?
You have answered the question. This is very important and people need to know, because otherwise people are falling into the trap of Zionism and being manipulated to blindly support Zionism. We must understand that Judaism and Zionism is not the same. They are the diametric opposites. Judaism is a religion only, while Zionism is a political movement. Not only that it is different, it happens to be that Zionism is forbidden, is the contrast of Judaism. One of the very famous propaganda tools the movement of Zionism is using is the promised land. God promised the Holy Land for the Jewish people, which happens to be a true concept, but is being misused in Zionist propaganda. Yes, God promised the land for the Jewish people, but in the same time, it was promised to the Jewish people on condition. That's the other side of the coin nobody speaks about. It was given to the Jewish people on condition that they remain, they keep the land and the level of holiness God requires of them. Otherwise, they would be expelled from the land. Unfortunately, Jewish people did not meet the level that God required of them. There are many verses in the Torah which says that Yishomri lechem peniftol avavchem, we say this twice a day, be careful not to stray from God, otherwise you will be expelled from the land. Several hundred years after the Jewish people were brought into the Holy Land, the Jewish people did not enter the land. It was God bringing the Jewish people into the Holy Land. There's a verse says, "Ki loy b'charbam yosh yuretz." Not through the sword did they inherit the land; it's through the hand of God. God warned the Jewish people through the prophets, "Unless you repent, you would be exiled." Unfortunately, this exile came about. Now, all Jews throughout all generations, without any exception, accepted the concept of Jewish exile as a divine decree, something that we are required to accept because it's God's will, and we are forbidden to fight against it by any physical means. We are forbidden to end this exile by any physical means. Now, this whole philosophy of Zionism is in total violation of Judaism, even before any crime committed to a human being or to an animal. When this happens in Palestine by so many crimes, oppressing an entire people, stealing the land, killing so many people, this is just adding so many crimes to it. And we always say killing, stealing, oppressing a people is not only a violation of international law. This is not only a breach of every standard of human rights. These are violations of Judaism. Now, when the state of Israel claims to speak or to act in the name of all Jews, supposedly all Jews support them, This is wrong. This is embarrassing to us as Jewish people. But on top of this, when our religion is being misused to justify these crimes, this is a true desecration of God's name. But let's understand what's happening here. We have a state of Israel, which is officially secular. They don't claim to be Jewish. They don't claim to follow the Jewish religion. Benjamin Netanyahu doesn't claim to eat kosher or to observe the Sabbath. And these people or this movement misuses this very same religion they refuse to follow. They misuse it in order to justify crimes which are forbidden in this very same religion.
You mean they use it as a pretext?
As a tool, as a propaganda tool. This is total hypocrisy. But unfortunately, people don't know these details. And what happens at the end of the day is that Zionist propaganda portrays this as the Jewish people, generally including all Jews, and as the Jewish religion. Now, nobody wants to be anti-Semitic. Nobody wants to fight the Jewish people, and they shouldn't. Nobody wants to fight God, and they shouldn't. But it's the other way around. By supporting the state of Israel, one is rebelling against God, because this movement is a rebellion against God. By supporting the state of Israel, one is not supporting the Jewish people. One places the Jewish people in danger. In addition to Palestinian people being in danger, Palestinian people being mass murdered, not only the past 2 years, but already for the past 77 years. But in addition to that, Jewish people are in danger because of what is taking place. We say that the state of Israel is the greatest exacerbation of anti-Semitism today. If one is concerned about anti-Semitism, this is a whole discussion. But it's the state of Israel placing the Jewish people in danger.
From your perspective, how have Israeli actions in Palestine affected the global image of Jewish communities?
The Zionist movement, especially with the actions they are taking against Palestine, have placed the Jewish people in a terrible situation, made a terrible image on the Jewish people. While Jewish people are supposed to be the people of the book, are supposed to be the pious people, friendly, peaceful, respectful, and so on. Unfortunately, what the Zionist movement is doing, portraying an image as the Jewish people are one of the worst of humanity. This is wrong, dangerous, embarrassing, and a desecration of God's name.
How has Zionism contributed to rising anti-Semitism by linking Jewish identity to state violence?
One has to be very careful not to conflate Judaism with Zionism. What we are seeing today, whoever speaks up a word against horrific crimes committed by the state of Israel against the Palestinian people, they would be falsely accused as anti-Semitic, based on the notion that anti-Semitism equals anti-Zionism equals anti-Semitism, basically conflating Judaism with Zionism. Now, this is wrong. Why is it wrong? Just because it is wrong, because Judaism and Zionism is not the same. Not all Jews support the state of Israel or its actions. Masses of Jewish people worldwide disagree and publicly oppose it. The Jewish religion is against all what is taking place. Now, this is wrong to conflate the two. It is wrong. It is doing an injustice to the Palestinian people, because what this false anti-Semitism accusation is doing, while anti-Semitism is a true concept, and is a concept that people should be concerned about, but when this is being misused, blaming whoever speaks up for justice in regards to the Palestinian people, blame them as anti-Semitic, this is obviously doing a terrible injustice for the Palestinian people, because these terribly oppressed people, people who are mass murdered, deserve the voice of the righteous people around the world to speak up for them. Because if not for those righteous people, who will? This is a terrible injustice for the Palestinian people. But in the same time, this is doing an injustice for the Jewish people. Because when you conflate Judaism and Zionism, you are making a statement. You are saying, as if, God forbid, all Jews support Israel, as if all Jews are behind all these crimes, which ends up making a statement that all Jews are accountable to what is taking place. This is dangerous. In addition to all dangers brought upon the Palestinian people, this is bringing so much danger to the Jewish people. And I can only encourage people of conscience to understand this. You are not supporting Jews by supporting Israel. If you choose to support Jews, we highly appreciate that. One should support Jews. One should support humanity. One should support everyone. But as a Jewish person, I definitely appreciate that. But supporting Israel is not support for the Jewish people.
So you think that Jewish communities abroad paid a social or security price for policies they did not choose to support?
Certainly. Jewish people, especially people who are visibly Jewish, when I travel in the airport, unless I have my kafir, I'm scared that people would misunderstand who I am. And unfortunately, people see somebody visibly Jewish, they associate it automatically with Zionism, with the state of Israel, and with these crimes. And this is unfair, because I don't deserve this. I don't support all of this.
Have you ever been personally threatened?
I was threatened by the Zionist movement. I was threatened by Zionists. But you can ask, and you might want to ask, whether I felt myself in danger when I visit Muslim countries, or I visit Gaza, or I attend pro-Palestinian rallies in Italy or any place of the world. And my answer is no. I never have a problem. I make sure to be visibly not the enemy, and I have no problem. Nobody hates me because I'm Jewish. People might have guilt feeling towards some Jews because they associate them with the state of Israel.
This takes me to the next question. How are anti-Zionist Jews treated within their own communities and by pro-Israel organizations?
Okay, very well asked. Their own communities and pro-Israeli, this is a great difference. How we are treated by pro-Israelis, very bad. Very bad in all different in different ways. But in the same time, while we can face difficulties, threats, physical attacks from pro-Israelis, we have massive support from other communities, from anti-Zionist communities, which is okay.
Do you think that... Do you feel that Jewish critics of Israel face censorship, marginalization, or smear campaigns in public discourse of the media?
Well, certainly there is a manipulation in the press. If it would have been honest journalism, I always say, I don't have to be in Italy if there is honest journalism, because everybody is going to understand everything and things will be very clear. Unfortunately, because it is this massive ignoring the voice of the righteous, therefore, the ordinary people almost have no choice and they don't have the proper information. And while they need to make their decisions, they have very little information to build their decisions on.
Why do you think Jewish opposition to Zionism receives so little coverage, so little international media coverage?
Not because it's Jewish, just because it's anti-Zionist. Whatever is anti-Zionist, the mainstream media will either ignore or vilify. It's not right, it's not just, it's not fair for the readers and for the listeners and for the viewers. People deserve honest journalism. And that's why I appreciate Press TV for being upfront, being honest, and bring for the people what they need, what they deserve.
How are ordinary Jewish civilians inside historical Palestine affected by constant militarization and war policies of the Israeli government?
I have to be very clear. The people suffering by the hands of the Zionist regime are not only the Palestinians. It is Jewish people who suffer as well. If you live in Israel, if you support the government, then you're okay. If you're silent, also okay. If you dare to speak up, then you'll be badly attacked. From arrests, harassments, physical attacks, night raids in the middle of the night, and assassinations from time to time. This is something that people need to understand, that the state of Israel is not the savior for the Jewish people. It is the protection for the Zionist movement. And whoever stands in their way, whether they are Palestinians or Jewish, would be attacked. And this happens on a daily basis.
What impact does compulsory military service and a culture of permanent fear have on Israeli society?
With these new laws in Israel forcing the youth to serve in the army, our communities are struggling. Our people fervently believe that this state of Israel has no right to exist. It has no right to exist morally. It has no right to exist religiously. And I have to, unfortunately, I have to be clear, this doesn't mean that these people believe that Jewish people should be killed. On the contrary, these are Jewish people. And they are concerned for the Jewish people, they are concerned for any human being. But this political movement of Zionism is something that is fundamentally wrong. Now, our people would never contribute to this rebellion against God, to this criminal movement. We would never serve in this Israeli army. The government is doing everything they can, the Israeli government, to force our people. When our boys and girls turn 17, automatically they become criminals because they don't serve. I have a close friend of mine who left or escaped the state of Israel, and his teenagers are still back there in Israel, and they have no choice. They can't leave. They reach the airport, they get arrested right away. This open-air prison where the Jewish people are being held hostage. This is unfair. People should have the right to conscientiously object to serve in an army which they religiously and morally believe is fundamentally wrong. And in no way should people be forced to carry out with their bare hands actions which they fundamentally oppose.
Rabbi, as a Jewish person, how do you personally feel when violence against Palestinians is justified in the name of Jewish security?
This is horrific for two reasons. First of all, even if the state of Israel would have been the safety of the Jewish people, how in the world can we justify this by oppressing an entire people? This is simply unacceptable. It is forbidden according to our religion. And it's our communities who suffered in the Holocaust. For example, it's my family, my communities, my mentors and rabbis who are Holocaust survivors. We know what suffering is, and we don't want this to happen to anyone. But this is wrong even if it would have been the safety for the Jewish people. Why in the world should we allow this to happen to others? Why should we do it to others? But it happens to be the other side, the other way around. The existence of the state of Israel and all the actions they are committing in the name of Jewish security is not only inflicting so many crimes on the Palestinian people, but endangering the Jewish people at the same time. This is a disaster for everyone involved. And we are encouraging Jewish people to rethink their blind support to Israel. Because, number one, this is wrong. Number two, this is dangerous for our people.
How painful is it personally to see acts of violence carried out while claiming to represent Judaism worldwide?
This is terribly frustrating, especially as religious people. The Jewish religion is the most precious by me, more than my own life. Seeing that God's religion is being so badly misrepresented is deeply disturbing. And especially when we see this done by people who disregard this religion altogether. This is a total hypocrisy. If it would have been some people that might be misguided, and there are some people who are misguided and they do this out of their good intention, then it's an issue of mistake. We have to correct these errors. We have to educate them. But generally speaking, in the state of Israel, this is a vicious propaganda tool intentionally misguiding people. There is no excuse.
Can you tell us about Jewish movements, Jewish organizations, Jewish groups today that openly oppose Zionism?
Jewish communities, we have strong Jewish communities in a number of parts of the world who are very publicly, vocally anti-Zionist. I'm from New York. New York is a very strong community. If you come visit our communities, you would find massive areas with tens of thousands of families with no Israeli flag, no celebration of the state of Israel. These communities are totally anti-Zionist. You go to Al-Quds, Jerusalem. You have a very strong anti-Zionist community. You go around in the area, you would find Palestinian flags on the walls, and then the police comes, Israeli police comes and remove them. It's a whole game. But you have in London strong communities, in Canada. But you have so many other communities who are strongly anti-Zionist, but as you can imagine, intimidation is massive. And so many people are so intimidated. And they cannot come out in public. If they come out, I always tell this story. I had a very close friend of mine. And once comes over to me and tells me, I'll do everything I can to support you financially. But I have a big business in New York City. If I join you in person, they take a picture of my face, I close down the business the same day. Which is unfortunately true. But when you see vocal people outside on the streets, you can imagine how many more people are behind them, supporting them in each and every way.
A few more questions. Would you be able to explain to what extent AIPAC influences the American political life?
AIPAC is a very sad entity. Unfortunately, AIPAC is manipulating each and every politician in the United States. Whoever doesn't go in total in line with AIPAC is committing political suicide. Tomorrow they'll lose their position or they would never get in office. This is unfortunately how it is. It's very sad. It's a disadvantage to everyone. And there's so much to speak about this, but unfortunately, this is something that we totally oppose. We protest AIPAC each and every year during their annual conference in Washington, D.C., and we say what we have to say about them.